Well, in a surprising headline admission, really, the Catholic Church has said celibacy may have contributed to the sexual abuse perpetrated by its priests. As the Royal Commission into Institutional Child Sexual Abuse winds up this year of harrowing hearings, the Church's Truth, Justice and Healing Council is this morning releasing a sweeping document. In it, it criticises the culture of the Church, it calls for greater communication, accountability and transparency, and better training for priests. Frances Sullivan heads the Catholic Church's Truth, Justice and Healing Council. It's the body which has been driving the Church's reform agenda and has formulated the Church's response to the Royal Commission's recommendations. Frances Sullivan, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
This activity you've released, Frances, it looks at really what you describe as the Church's response to abuse, which was obfuscation, denial, deceit and cover-up. How do you plan to change that?
Well, the first way you plan to change it is by fessing up. And that's one thing that the church leadership said they would do when the Royal Commission was announced. It's the reason why our council was created, to give independent advice. And we've been consulting across the church at regular meetings, even as recently as last night, Fran. And all sorts of issues come up. And this report is a compilation of what's emerging, what's emerged in the actual hearings themselves. The Catholic community is shocked. It's been angry because the history of handling of sex abuse in the Catholic Church has been shameful.
And I want to come back to some of those feelings in the congregation and the community, but let's deal with what perhaps stolen the headlines already, this finding that the culture, one of the problems of this Catholic culture is obligatory celibacy. Europarth says this may have contributed to sexual abuse.
Yes, we can't keep our head in the sand. When you've got a national inquiry looking at the sex crimes of the Catholic Church, you need to examine all contributing factors. And clearly, a healthy understanding of psychosexual development is essential, not only for priests and religious, but for all of us. We all need to know how to respond and how to behave and relate properly to people. And in the Royal Commission, it has been raised and asked of witnesses, what has been the role of celibacy? What contributing factors? And that's what we're saying. Let's not shift that aside. Let's examine properly how priests, how seminarians, how religious brothers are trained and how they have ongoing support and development.
The report goes so far as to suggest that priests need psychosexual development training. What is that and how would that work?
Well, let's put it simply. It's like all of us as adults learning about ourselves, learning about how we make the choices about ourselves, how we relate in the circumstances we're in appropriately. And that means interpersonally. And, you know, in the past, we've had the ridiculous situation where 12-year-old boys were joining the seminary and the junior seminary.
That's not the recent past. Currently, though, I mean, is the time coming for an end to obligatory celibacy for priests that come into the orders now? Because, I, as you say, it's been brought up time and time again in the Royal Commission. My memory, I think, is that Cardinal George Pell said, no, it's got nothing to do with it. It doesn't need to change. What's your view?
Well, firstly, no, we're not asking for obligatory celibacy to be...
Why not?
Because the first part is this. People obviously join the priesthood and religious life, understanding what that requires. But when a person joins anything, they need the skills to continue to do that and to be able to feel competent and confident that they can perform those duties and ministries. And in the Catholic Church, that involves celibacy. And to do that, you need a very clear understanding about your own sexuality, your own sexual development, your own way of relating as a person to others. That's called psychosexual education. Certainly in the past, there was none. These days in seminaries and in religious orders, they are emphasising it. We're saying, let's make sure it's best practice. Let's make sure it's ongoing.
But you're not saying the church should look at this notion of obligatory celibacy with a view to being open to phasing it out?
No, we're not saying that. We're saying let's look at the contributing factors at the moment.
In your report, your activity report, you talk about the Vatican. You've called for greater clarity on the role of the Vatican in the Australian leadership's response to sexual abuse. Are you saying that the obfuscation, denial, deceit and cover-up was led by Rome? Impacted by Rome?
Well, there are two things there, Fran. Firstly, we certainly are saying there needs to be great clarity about where the Vatican plays in this whole process vis-a-vis the Australian Church. So if there are issues, if there are processes in Rome that occur, let's have clarity about how they occur, why the decisions are made the way they are made. That's the first point. The second point is that across the Catholic Church, across the world, it has been marked by cover-up, by a lack of openness, by a protection of the church rather than the victim. And we're saying that culture not only has to be named, the procedures, the policies, the zero tolerance has to be real.
George Pell is there in Rome at the Vatican now. He famously denied the culture of abuse amongst clerics initially. Do you think he'll be a help or a hindrance to you in what you're trying to achieve?
Well, at a personal level, he's been a help. He's been really a driving force behind this council. He's been very clear, as has Archbishop Dennis Hart, the leader of the Bishops' Conference, that we have to be open with the community. And a report like this, I hope, demonstrates to people that we are.
It's 12 minutes to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is Francis Sullivan, the CEO of the Catholic Church Truth, Justice, Healing Council. The Royal Commission heard over and over again, Francis, that the Church's schemes to address these claims of abuse towards healing and the Melbourne response, in many cases, added to the trauma of victims. They lacked transparency, they lacked compassion, there was no taking of responsibility for what occurred. Do you have a plan for a better system?
Well, there are two things. Firstly, the best thing about the Royal Commission is that victims get a chance to be the number one priority and get a chance to tell their stories. And you know from your other shows that that's been a grueling process for them and for others who have had to watch it. And certainly the Catholic Church's performance has been very patchy in the complaint systems it's run. And our policy now says...
Cruel could be one word, I think, a lot of victims would use.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's very traumatising at the best of times for anybody to have to deal with this as a victim and their families. The days of the Catholic Church investigating itself are over. We've lost that credibility in the community. There needs to be an independent system that will investigate, assess, determine, and work out how much people should be paid by way of redress. And then in institutions like the Catholic Church do the paying. That's where we're at. And it's over to governments now to assist that process to get in place.
No more, as it really exposed in the Royal Commission, no more legal tricks for the Catholic Church to avoid being sued?
Yes, we've said quite clearly that every diocese and every religious congregation needs to provide a legal entity that can be sued by victims if they want to sue for damages.
Can I ask you your role in this? You sat through all the hearings. You're a devout Catholic. What's the impact have been on you and your faith? Has it dented your faith, hearing this?
It's been miserable to have to go through this process. When I started, I told people I was angry and ashamed. And when I go out to Catholic communities, that's exactly what you hear. It's almost like the adults in the church have got to come out and start talking. This issue has been kept in the dark for so long. And fortunately, without making this the religion and ethics program, you know, I have faith in God. It's not so much the church. The church is a vehicle. This is just a bunch of people. We're just trying to do our best. But when issues like this turn up, you know, hopefully by pushing back into it with a sense of compassion and the heart of what it's all about, we might be able to make those links again with people to say we're genuine and income about what we're trying to do.
You're also a Catholic parent. Your son went to Maris Brothers School. Maris Brothers front and centre for many of the abuse claims that's come before the Royal Commission. Did that concern you? Did that make you think, is my son safe?
I didn't worry about my son.
Why not?
I had confidence in the school and in the teachers. No dramas at all there. But it was a really tough day in the Canberra hearings when they were talking about the events of the 1980s at that school.
Just finally, this is a fine blueprint for change you've drawn up, and the church needs to apologise, it needs to front up, no more cover-up, as we've said. But what faith can Catholics, let alone the broader community, really have that the church's leadership is going to change? What guarantee they're going to accept these recommendations and, as we've said before, change the culture?
Well, Fran, words mean nothing. It's quite clear that people will only start giving the Catholic Church some credit through action. A report like this was passed by the church leadership. In other words, it's sending a signal today. It's prepared to be open and have things discussed openly. That's an action. We're calling for a new way of doing redress. That's an action. We're saying there are new ways that you can legally adjust with relate to the church. That's an action. But in the long run, people who have been abused need to feel that they're being justly treated. Even the new Archbishop of Sydney said it won't happen until there's real justice for victims. Actions will always speak louder than words.
Should the Catholic Church be ashamed of itself?
It is, and it should be.
Francis Sullivan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran. Enjoy the summer.
Francis Sullivan is CEO of the Catholic Church's Truth, Justice and Healing Council, releasing this report. It's called an activity report, recommendations for how the church must respond to the, as we say, harrowing accounts of all these people who have come forward in the Royal Commission.